tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 19th of January 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, hopefully I have now got the radio players fixed, and we should now have podcasts playing at the correct time and in the correct order. So if you want to tune in to the Radio Albion stream and just leave it playing at whatever time of day you're at, you can find that at the players page at the radioalbion.com website. Okay, well, today we have a horrific story, as most of these are, but entirely predictable, an entirely predictable one. And I'm taking this from the Daily Mail. You may have noticed that I'm using mainstream sources for all the podcasts that we do here, and that's so that we can't be accused of making these things up, because a lot of people just wouldn't actually believe what is really happening in real life. And this article is titled, "Students were raped after being forced to live in complex alongside 125 refugees to, quote, aid integration. Terrified Dutch youngsters were subjected to years of sexual assaults and violence." Who could have guessed that that's what would happen if they put Dutch students in with 125 refugees? Who could have guessed that there might be sexual assaults and violence? Of course, that's what you're supposed to think. But in actual fact, we know that refugees are far more likely to actually carry out sexual assaults. In fact, Afghans and Eritreans in particular are over 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults than the indigenous British. And we hear of these sexual assaults pretty much every day. Later on, at the end of this article, if I've got time, we'll go and have a look at some of the other sexual assaults and rapes carried out by refugees that took place over the weekend. I mean, these things do happen every day when you look at the newspapers. And also stabbings now occur every day. And we're just supposed to not notice this. And certainly we're not supposed to point out that this does appear to be a pattern, a repeating pattern. And if you do want to talk about it, you have to talk about it using certain words so that you don't get sent to jail for complaining about it. And I really do think people could be forgiven for thinking that this is being done deliberately, because it is so obvious that it is happening. And it is also so obvious that our government doesn't care about it and just wants to stick people in jail if they dare to complain about it. Starting off with this article here, terrified Dutch students made to live side by side with 125 refugees to aid their integration were subjected to years of sexual assaults and violence, an investigation has reported. Stek Oost, located in the Watergraafsmeer district of Amsterdam, was sold to the Netherlands as the dream solution to the housing and refugee crisis. A total of 125 students and 125 refugees would live alongside each other and were even encouraged to buddy up so the migrants would adapt to life in the Netherlands more quickly. So we can see from that the same problems that are happening in Britain are also happening in the Netherlands. And you can see that there was an equal number of students and refugees. So if everybody is all equal, and there were all these sexual assaults and rapes and violence that were started by the refugees, you would imagine that there would also be the same number of rapes and sexual assaults and violence that were started by the students. But apparently there weren't any, because I'm sure that if there were any, they would have reported it in this article, because the mainstream media is not known for covering up crimes that carry out by white people. They're known for covering up crimes that are carried out by non-whites, or trying to hide the identity of the non-whites. And the Daily Mail does actually talk about some of these issues, but the problem with the Daily Mail is that they then go and attack the people that protest about this and try to get things done about it. People like Patriotic Alternative that campaign against these sort of things happening, they get accused of being neo-Nazis and racists. Students living there told Dutch investigative documentary programme Zembla that they faced multiple sexual assaults, harassment, violence, stalking, and even claimed a gang rape had taken place. Remember, this is just 125 refugees, and just 125 refugees is enough for multiple sexual assaults, harassment, violence, stalking, and a gang rape. I mean, that must be quite a few members of that refugee community that were involved in this. One woman said she would regularly see fights in the hallway, and then again in the shared living room. A man told the program that a refugee threatened him with an 8-inch kitchen knife, and they claimed they were ignored despite filing multiple reports to authorities. And of course, the authorities don't want to investigate these issues, do they? Because it's a black on white crime rather than the other way around. They don't want to investigate this. They don't want it to be publicised, because that would cause friction between communities. That would cause a stigma to the refugees. They would be stereotyped as people that are likely to carry out sexual assaults and violence. And of course, that is a fact. They are more likely to carry out sexual assaults and violence. It's not a stereotype. But the mainstream media and the establishment, they want people to think that it's just a stereotype with no substance to it. So, of course, the authorities did not investigate these allegations. In one shocking case, a former resident said that a Syrian raped her after inviting her to his room to watch a film and then refusing to let her leave. The woman, identified only as Amanda, said he wanted to learn Dutch to get an education and I wanted to help him. And that's typical. White people want to help other people. We want to help everyone. If we see somebody that is in need, then we are keen to go and help them. That's the sort of people that we are. But when that comes up against a group of people that are more likely to carry out sexual assaults, that from a completely different culture, that see women in a completely different way, you can see that there's potential there for this sort of thing to happen, and that's why they should never have been put together. Yet they were put together. You had these Dutch students having to live next to these Syrians and Afghans and other refugees, and when they reported it to the council, people that were responsible for putting them there, they just refused to investigate it. I think, as we'll find out later on, the police did investigate this because there were convictions. So it's not that these allegations were just being made up by horrible racists. Amanda described how he asked her several times to come to his room. She eventually relented and agreed to watch a film with him. Now, if children had been taught at school that they should be more wary of the people that aren't actually from their culture, and if they do go to their room to watch a film or whatever, there is a higher chance that they will be sexually assaulted and raped than if they had gone to help another Dutch student in their room, then perhaps she wouldn't have done this. But she hadn't been taught that. She had been taught that everybody is all equal, and that white people have white privilege, and that the non-whites of the world are an oppressed minority. So she clearly wanted to help him. She'd been programmed to believe that multiculturalism is all great. And the end result of that is that she ends up being raped. However, he soon made her uncomfortable and she asked to leave, only for him to trap her in his room and sexually abuse her. I mean, some people might say, well, she was silly to go to his room, wasn't she? But again, this is a young student girl that's used to being around other Dutch. Somebody's room to help them learn Dutch is not likely to be a dangerous situation. But if you're going to a refugee's room, a male refugee from a culture that looks at women completely different and is used to seeing them covered from head to toe in a burqa, then there is, it is going to be a risky situation. And unfortunately, she came off the worst for it. Despite her filing a police report following the incident in 2019, the police dropped the case due to a lack of evidence. And I mean, that's the thing. She went to his room. She should have known better than to go to his room, but she'd had her head filled with all this diversity is wonderful. And you need to help these poor refugees to integrate into Dutch society. So you should go there. You should help them out with their English, their Dutch, sorry. And of course, the end result of that is that she gets raped. And because she had gone to the refugee's room willingly, there was a lack of evidence to prosecute him. But just 6 months later, another woman living in Steckoost raised the alarm over the same Syrian, telling the housing association that runs the complex that she was concerned for the safety of herself and the other women living there. But the local authority, which had set up the arrangement, claimed it was impossible for the man to be evicted, the Zembla documentary claims. And they will say it's difficult because if they were to evict him, then he would end up being homeless. And that means that they would have deliberately made a person homeless. So you can see that there's a conflicting issue there. He's obviously causing a problem to the other people in the house. But if they remove him from the house, he's either going to be homeless or they've got to put him somewhere else. So until there is actually a conviction against him, I think what they're saying is correct. They wouldn't have been able to remove him. They should have removed him. They should have evicted him, but they're not able to just because the way that our laws are set up. Our laws were set up for white people. They were set up for European people. So European people aren't likely to abuse them. But if you come from another culture and those same laws are being applied to you, then things like this are going to happen. Something absolutely unforgivable occurred, a rape, and yet because of our European-style laws, which say that you can't make somebody homeless, the authorities were not able to make him homeless. If this had happened in a Muslim country, then I suspect he would have been hanged for doing this. It was only when he was formally arrested in March 2022 that he left the student refugee complex, and he was later convicted of raping Amanda and another resident and was sentenced to just 3 years in prison in 2024. 3 years for two rapes. Clearly they have two-tier justice over there in the Netherlands, or perhaps they have so many rapes that it's impossible to keep these people in prison. I used to go over to Holland. I used to go to Amsterdam in the early 90s, and Amsterdam was just full of Moroccans. And I can remember thinking back then, what are all these Moroccans doing here? Why are all of them Moroccan? Why have they all come to Amsterdam? What are they doing there? Most of them were trying to sell you drugs or sell you women. And I can remember thinking, why have they come here? Why has Holland allowed all these people from another country to just come here and sell drugs and sell women? How bizarre that is. And I just filed it away in the back of my mind. And of course, it comes up now that I understand about these nationalist issues 20 years later, I can see the start of all this back then. I mean, it must be terrible now. It's probably only about 20 or 30% Dutch left living there. At the time, it seemed like it was at least 30 or 40% Moroccan. As I say, this was 30 years ago. Carolyn de Heer, district chair of the East District of Amsterdam, where Steckoost is located, claimed it was legally difficult to remove people from these blocks. You see, unacceptable behaviour and people get scared. But legally, that's often not enough to remove someone from their home or impose mandatory care. You keep running into these same obstacles. I mean, the amazing thing is that nobody thought there might be a culture clash here. If you're going to put all these refugees together in the same building as all of these students, there might well be problems. Wouldn't we be better off just putting all these refugees in a place specifically just for the refugees and the students in a place specifically just for the students? But of course, they thought, well, it will help the refugees because the students can help them to integrate. And the argument against that should have been, yes, but you're putting the students at risk of being raped and violently attacked, because refugees are more likely to do this. We know this from statistics. Clearly, nobody made that argument. And if they did make that argument, I'm sure they would have been called racist for making it. In another horrifying case reported by the programme, Stadgenoot, the firm that runs the complex, suspected a gang rape took place in one of its flats in the summer of 2023. And I think that last rape we were talking about was in 2022. Police told Dutch newspaper De Telegraaf that while it was not aware of any gang rape taking place on the premises, it did say it had received 7 reports of sexual assault. So if you put those two issues together, you can say that that means that there were 7 refugees that were involved in this, whether the girl was actually raped or not, or whether she didn't report it. It seems that there were 7 reports of sexual assault. So, I mean, that could be that there's one refugee responsible for all of it. But because there's this accusation of gang rape there, it seems likely that it could actually be 7 of these 125 refugees were involved in this gang rape. Since opening in 2018, Stikhuis has faced multiple similar allegations. In 2022, Dutch TV station 85 reported that a refugee had been accused of 6 sex attacks between 2018 and 2021. So it seems it doesn't matter what refugees they put in there, they are going to be sexual assaults and sexual attacks, even when you've got different groups of refugees. And as I say, I mean, this is borne out by the statistics, which say that they are more likely to carry out these sexual assaults than white people. He was involved in a protracted legal battle with local authorities who fought to force him to leave Stikhuis. For its part, Stadjenoot wanted to shut the complex down as early as 2023, but the local authority refused. The local authority literally forced these Dutch students to live alongside these rapists, basically foreign rapists. It will, however, be shut down by 2028 after the contract to run the site expires. In the meantime, though, staff and students at Stikhuis have been left exhausted from their experience living and working there. Marielle Foppen, who works for Stadjenoot, dejectedly told the programme, "We were completely overwhelmed. We no longer wanted to be responsible for the safety of the complex. It was just too intense. As a manager of these colleagues, I would say if I cannot guarantee their safety, I am going to have a really bad night's sleep." That must occur also in these hotels. Remember just a few weeks back that there was somebody convicted of stabbing one of these hotel workers, one of these refugees at the hotel. They followed one of the workers to a train station, a female worker, and they stabbed her. Now, the left and our opponents would, of course, say, well, this is just one place with student accommodation and this happened. Perhaps it was just a bad lot of refugees. But if you look up these things on the internet, you'll find how regularly they occur. I typed in Afghan refugee accused of sexual assault into Google. This is not into Yandex or any other search engine, into Google, which we know censors results. We have 9th December, man charged with rape of 2 teenage girls in Bolton, an Afghan national, Sultani Bakatash. That's Greater Manchester Police telling us that. The BBC tells us on the 8th of December, 2 teenage Afghan nationals seeking asylum in the UK have each been given custodial sentences for the rape of a 15-year-old girl in Leamington. 24th of December, Afghan refugee in Scotland sentenced to 9 years. Police said the attack took place in a park in Scotland in October last year. Atsa Matsi denied the rape charge, etc., etc. So that's just from Google. If I actually look at the weekend papers or actually look at the aggregate news site that I go to look up these news, it has quite a few more on there. 24th of October, man convicted of murdering Walsall hotel worker on train station platform. That was the one that I was referring to, after he followed her to the railway station and stabbed her multiple times with a screwdriver. Birmingham Live, 1st of January, first images of teens jailed for Birmingham Park stabbing attack on boy 15. 3 teenagers have been jailed for almost 13 years combined for a vicious stabbing attack in Morris Park. They might not be refugees, but with names like Ibrahim Ishfaq and Mohammed Hassan, they're not of Anglo-Saxon heritage. Moving on to the next one. Here we have a BBC article. Man accused of raping two girls, 14, appears in court 13th of January. Sultani Bagatash appeared at Bolton Crown Court, accused of the offences in the Greater Manchester town. Nottinghamshire Live here, we have here. First picture of Nottingham man accused of murdering 23-year-old woman. Adedapo Adegbola appeared in Nottingham Crown Court on Monday, October the 27th. Actually, that's a later one that came out in 27th of October. Next one we have here comes from a tweet by Britain First. This week, an 11-year-old girl was raped in Hale, Altrincham, by an illegal migrant staying at the Ashley Hotel. Yesterday, the attacker was remanded in prison. Today, Britain First protested outside the hotel. Another one here. This is GB News. Afghan national charged with sexual assault of child in Greater Manchester. A man from Afghanistan has been charged with sexually assaulting a child in Greater Manchester, GB News understands. Hamad Mahmoudi, 28, was remanded into custody. Greater Manchester police were called following reports a child under the age of 13 had been sexually assaulted at a property in Hale. Mahmoudi will appear at Manchester Minstrel Street Crown Court on Friday, February the 6th. So you can see from that that this is quite a common occurrence. Sexual assaults, rapes, violence all occur with refugees or with men of migrant status. And all of those offences that took place, they never would have taken place if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. That's the fact of the matter. And some people will say the argument of, oh, well, if they weren't raped by group X, then they would have been raped by group Y in the country. But that's just not the case, because these groups, particularly Afghans and Eritreans, are 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assaults. So this Dutch experiment that went on when they put these Dutch students in the shared accommodation with these refugees, they were putting them at 20 times the risk of being sexually assaulted than if they had just been in normal student accommodation with other Dutch people. I mean, I really don't think it could get any clearer that the ideal way to live is among your own people. And multiculturalism is an unnatural state of affairs that just puts people at risk, at severe risk of horrific things happening to them, at risk of being raped, risk of being murdered, all of these things that it just wouldn't happen if it wasn't for these other groups being imported into our countries. And those students, they should really be suing the council and suing the university for allowing this. But I can imagine they possibly may have even volunteered for it. I mean, they've been so programmed with liberalism at schools nowadays, programmed to believe that these refugees, they're down on their luck and they just need a helping hand and they're all going to make really wonderful members of society if we just add a little investment into them. And you can imagine that these students may have signed up voluntarily to go and live in this accommodation with them to help these refugees to integrate. I mean, that's the sort of people we are. We want to help people. And our desire to help people is then used against us by people that are not of our own people. This desire to help people, if you look at it from an evolutionary perspective, it's designed to aid our own group, to aid the protection of our own group, to aid the advancement of our own group. And if we live naturally, then it's a positive thing, this desire to help one another, because we would be helping our own group. It would improve conditions for our own group. It would improve life outcomes for individuals within the group. But when that's deflected outside of the group by this unnatural situation that we're living in, when it's deflected against outsiders to the group, members of another group, then it's at risk of being taken advantage of. And you can see here that these horrific things can happen when white people's natural altruistic and charitable nature is taken advantage of. And the only way to prevent that from happening is to segregate communities. If you segregated communities, if you tried to ensure that there was the least chance of members of different groups interacting together, then this wouldn't be able to happen. I mean, that would be one way of solving this problem without mass deportations, would just be to have segregation. And of course, we've been taught to think that segregation is a dirty word. It's a horrible thing. Yet if you look at the crime statistics when there was segregation in America, they're absolutely dwarfed by what is going on now. If you look at the violence and the crime statistics and what was going on in South Africa when they had apartheid, it's absolutely dwarfed by the amount of violence that goes on now. But of course, you're not supposed to question these things. You're just supposed to accept that segregation was a bad thing, apartheid was a bad thing, and we really don't want that. But the end result of doing away with those things is these horrific crimes that are going on nowadays in our multicultural countries. I mean, what's so wrong with segregation? What's so wrong with living amongst your own people? You know, when you listen to what Muslims say, they say, well, we want to live amongst other Muslims. That's why I say you could have an alliance with Muslim groups as a nationalist on most issues apart from immigration, because Muslims want to live amongst other Muslims just as much as white nationalists want to live amongst other white people. And you could work together on that goal, to be honest. And you could say, well, here you go, have your Muslim areas over there and we'll have our white areas over here. And the Muslims, I'm sure, would be quite happy with that. You know, they could follow their rules, follow their Sharia law, follow the way that they want to live in their area. And in the white areas, we could follow the way that we want to live. The problem is, once the genie is out of the bottle, it's very, very hard to get the genie back into the bottle. Now that we've had this mass immigration, now that we've got this multiculturalism, it's going to be very difficult to undo it. I mean, you can slow down the numbers that are coming in, but I think more important is to ensure that we have areas in the country that are segregated. And then if people want to live in multicultural areas, they can live in the multicultural areas. If people want to live with their own people in the indigenous areas, they can move to the indigenous areas. And if they're Muslims and they want to go and live in the Muslim areas, they can go and live in the Muslim areas, and everybody would be happy. But our government doesn't seem to want that. They seem to want to force this multiculturalism on everybody. And, you know, it just leaves everybody unhappy. It doesn't actually make anybody happy, all of this. Perhaps it might make some Jews happy because they stand out less. That's one of the reasons why Jews like multiculturalism. But I don't think most groups like that. Jews are a bit of a unique case because they've spent the last 2,000 years living amongst other groups. Whereas if you look at these other people groups, the majority of them have always had their own space and their own area. And then we're now all being encouraged to live together in this multiculturalism. And I don't think it makes anybody happy, really. It doesn't make the Muslims happy. You know, they're offended by the things that white people do. Doesn't make white people happy, because we're offended at the things that these Muslims do, and especially offended at some of these attacks that the refugees carry out. So there's no easy fix, no easy solution to this. But one thing we do have to do is talk about it, which is, of course, what we do here at RadioAlbion.com. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow, and we have a special guest tomorrow. We have an ex-PhD student who is studying counterterrorism that wants to talk to us about these new hate speech laws that are incoming in Australia. So you can look forward to that tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.